Hey there, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of That's How We Roll, a podcast where I talk with motivating and inspiring women who are professionals, entrepreneurs, organization leaders, artists, and so much more. In this episode, I'm speaking with not one, but two fabulous entrepreneurs and founders of Bottoms Up Bagels, Michelle Bond and Joan Canner. They are also co-hosts of the Proofing Stage podcast. Michelle is a returned Peace Corps volunteer and has run 11 marathons. I guess that's how she's able to maintain her stamina and energy to run a business. Joan created the music streaming app Fugue that lets you hear what you want and forget what you don't. She applies all that knowledge and experience to debunk the myth that it's the water that makes a bagel good. So I just want to start talking, so let's welcome Michelle and Joan. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. I feel like your description's so positive. It's like you perjured yourself for me. Joan invented these things, and she does whole hog butchery, which is true.
Well, she could.
I just want to add that.
I mean.
I'm just saying.
You like slip that in there.
I'm so glad to have you guys here.
No, we're excited. It's so nice to be connecting again. I was thinking about it. It's been like 6 months at this point, which went very quickly.
It went very quickly. Indeed, it did. But it didn't seem like it was quick to a lot of us. I mean, it seems like it was a long time. But, you know, we made it through. And so here we are. You both have had very interesting career paths. And as I said, Joan created this music app. Now, how do these paths end up with cream cheese and lox in the middle and Bottoms Up Bagels? Like, how did this happen?
Woof, Michelle, I think I'm going to start with something incredibly boring to get it out of the way.
Okay.
That's how I do.
Usually it's your MO, so I'm
usually it's not. I'm staging this for all of us. So one thing, Ava, about like my prior career before starting Fugue, which unfortunately I had to wrap up, but maybe one day someone will find its genius and wish to pick it where it needs to go, is that I worked 15 years in grants and contracts management and social science research. So I already had experience with like really knowing how to go very technical on things, knowing how to ask people and survey work or focus groups and get people's opinion to help shape things. And certainly the compliance issue of like how to manage money and policy and basically just how to keep people and things safe, like working with IRBs and whatnot. So that's the boring beginning to what makes Bub Bub.
Okay. Well, that's not really boring at all.
I was hoping you would say that.
I mean, I'm a geek myself, so I like the fact that you created an app that people use. They may not value what it does, but you did it.
Heck yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was kind of the beginning of, and this is where the Venn diagram, I would say, in like value system around Bub or driving force with, but sorry, Bottoms Up Bagels. We lovingly refer to it as Bub by its initials because it's a great acronym.
It is a great acronym.
Was unintentional, but we've come to like our child. But this idea of listening to, like, paying attention to the world, listening to what people are looking for, asking for, some of the struggles that they're having, big or small, right? Whether it's like a specific technology to meet that need in the case of Fugue, or, you know, a good bagel. And so the driving force is really like, how can we, like, we feel a little unsatisfied in certain areas of life. Like, I think we could be doing better or getting more. Is there a way that we can provide that for other people? So at a like philosophical level, that's the relationship between some of these things. But we had also always shared a dream of a food business. We grew up in Northern Jersey and, you know, diners and bagel shops and counter service restaurants. And this kind of tough but loving customer service was really something that we were raised on, but then also missed when it wasn't a part of our regular life.
So you decided to bring it to the people, bring Bub to the people.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I'm sure it was definitely iterations, and I'm sure Ava's like, through your experience in your different worlds, you know that it's like they went in like guns blazing with a full-on logo and like a full-on menu and a shop and all those things. It certainly was painstaking, the shaping of this business.
Well, at least you've had some wonderful accomplishments in your business. You were named Baltimore's Best Bagel in 2018, and you were named a grand prize winner in the Lenovo Evolve Small Mentorship Contest, receiving mentorship from Queen Latifah. I mean, you were actually mentored by the queen herself?
We were, and it's really tangential. We'll discuss that first, of course, but this is also like a reason why we met you.
Oh.
In many ways. So we were scouting to do some craft service in your area of the world, and we had known like there were different kitchens to check out. And by the time we were going to be getting a contract to do like our first work, unfortunately, the strike hit, which I know is like near and dear to you. So we had to put pause on that. But we wanted to test out the kitchen anyway, and we knew that WGA could definitely use some grub. So that sent us up to you. But we didn't have that contact with Queen Latifah and her staff, we would not have known about the kitchens that we used to make sure we could feed you guys.
Oh, wow. And you know, those kitchens, I know a lot of people in food service business that have their own businesses, but you can't cook out of your own home for a business like that. So I know that these kitchens exist. So that was quite fortuitous. Then you ended up right where you needed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. We had scouted kitchens up that way earlier in the summer, and with the strike continuing on and everything, Joan especially was very much like, we gotta figure out a way to feed these folks. And so it was a good opportunity for us to test something, you know, at the scale that we needed to, while then also feeding folks up there during what ended up being some of the last days of the strike, which mm-hmm. was great. I mean, that it didn't continue on and on, but yeah, no, it was wonderful. So we felt like we had a chance to really test it out using, you know, the methods that we would need to for such a scale like that. And it was great.
Well, I'm going to come back to that later on, but I want to go back to these accomplishments and accolades that you received. So what was it like? Like, how did you feel being named Best Bagel in Baltimore and the mentorship program? Do we want to talk a little about that?
Joan, I can speak to the Best of Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. That's go for it.
Right. So Best of Baltimore is every local area has this magazines or local news outlets that do these things. But this was something that was on our radar for a while for a couple of reasons, and mainly as consumers, which is where kind of the starting of Bottoms Up Bagels came out of first and foremost. We were foodies and we were looking for more quality options that were less expensive. And, you know, a bagel, like I said, was ubiquitous growing up in New Jersey, but we really hadn't found that kind of taste of home in the same way. And so even as consumers, we always look to the Best of Baltimore, either in Baltimore Magazine or back in the day, the city paper, RIP, we had a great Best of issue. And that was, you know, when I first moved to Baltimore almost 20 years ago, that was like my Bible. I would go to it and be like, what am I in the mood for? Oh, wings? Okay. This is, you know, that's how I found all my go-to spots. And like some of them are still around. And so all that is to say, you know, while we were not seeking these kinds of awards, it was definitely a big deal when we received, and especially the Best of Baltimore one in 2018, because at that point we were still operating out of a shared kitchen space and doing just pop-ups. We didn't yet have our brick and mortar. And for the most part, traditional brick and mortars and restaurants were the ones getting these kinds of awards. So it felt even more, it was even more of a source of pride, because these were folks who, I guess, had come to farmers markets or had heard about us and had what we were preparing in the style that we were preparing it at, you know, one of a number of farmers markets or brewery events in the area. And to get enough buzz, even in that capacity, to get named an honor like this was a pretty big deal.
That is a big deal. And then how did the mentorship contest come about?
Ironically, the previous, like basically a few months before we even knew that the contest actually existed, we were doing an event. So we had like the Roadshow, which is a larger event that we take on the road, and it's like multi-day and it's like very extravagant in terms of menu and staffing. But for larger markets like Boston, we end up doing what we call a testing the waters event, because number one, we really are literally testing the water to tweak things to make sure our bagels come out as we expect them to. But also it's good to have like a smaller group, like a true focus group. And the one we did in Cambridge was special to me, in part because it also was a group of people who all work in neuroscience, which is a really interesting, if you said nerding out, Avis, so this was like the ultimate group. There was one person there who was really like charming. And she just says, gosh, Joan, you know, are you impressed by anyone? Because I do have a bit of an attitude. And like, I'm more impressed by what people do than what they say. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't really have like, you know, like I don't like fangirl over anybody. But as soon as she asked that, my answer to her was Queen Latifah. Literally was my answer. And then a month later, I heard about this contest. And I was like, yeah, money, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, equipment, blah, blah. I'm like, Queen Latifah. It's all I knew. And so we put all of our efforts together. We scripted out the quick video for it. We worked with a local filmmaker to make sure we can like piece together some like a really good application. And then when we realized we got to a finalist candidacy, which I think also happened because I had so many Queen Latifah Easter eggs in the damn script, but who knows, was that like, you know, we were able to band together, to me, like not the people who'd care about the award, but the people who would see us day in and day out. We had just such a large group of people in Baltimore City that we refer to as bubblas. And those are the people who got us to the point of winning.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can add just two more things on that, because I feel like we had done a number of, by now, you know, a little bit of Joan's personality, Avis, and, you know, during COVID we had done these little like parody videos in large part to just like give our customers something. I mean, yeah, we were operating, but just to kind of like happy distraction, just a little bit of playfulness during, you know, it's hard to remember how dark some of those days were. Mm-hmm. And so we had this like, and we've always had like a creative aspect to the business, which seems strange for a bagel shop until, you know, you meet Joan. But we had all these kind of bits and pieces of things that we worked really hard to write a script that kind of tied them all together in what, like a minute or something, to just, again, like show, not tell, kind of who we were and what we were about. So that was really exciting because I felt like our submission also represented us really well as to where we were at that point in time. And I remember saying to Joan, like, well, no matter what happens, I feel so good about what we put together that even that is just winning in my mind. And then, to as Joan said, when we notified we were a finalist, then it was just a matter of, and I say just in quotes, then you have to rally the votes. It was a public contest. So we had to get the word out. And again, this is when we were in transition still between our shops. So we weren't even like seeing people every day. So we really had to obviously use social media, get some earned media, and also put, you know, send notes in like holiday cards and things like that. And to really try to galvanize both people in Baltimore, but also people where we had done the Bob Roadshow in those communities to vote for us. And it was so amazing to hear, even we still hear, we bump into people in town and they're like, oh my God, I voted for you every day. And
wow.
I have to say, like, that's I mean, it was hard for me to vote every day. You know what I mean? It was like, and it was really hard to be a pain in the neck about it. It was really hard to ask people every day to do this for us. Like, that was a big thing to overcome too. And, you know, I just remember thinking like, God, if you're close to winning and the reason you don't win is because you didn't ask for it, then yeah, shame on you, you know?
Well, how many companies were you up against? Or did you know?
In the finals, I think it was seven total finalists, I believe. And there were three grand prize winners. So the odds were pretty good.
But, yeah, but how many overall? Because before you got to be number seven, how many people did you beat out for the top seven spots?
So we were not told that.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I love data. So when I also wanted to know, which they would not tell me, but I gotta ask because I'm me. So Avis, I was like, okay, so when we won, I was like, okay, so how many, we reached the most people across different states. Basically, like, we're the most states voting for us. know, because we've had like such traction in different parts of the US, we're just like, we can't tell you. I'm like, great. Have a good one. Don't stroke my ego.
Yeah, we don't know how many entrants.
Wow. So it was kind of like a secret. Did you come across like anybody else that was doing the same thing that you were doing? It's so broad that maybe there were businesses that you wouldn't even encounter, or other, you know, other companies that you wouldn't even come in contact with. So it was like a blind contest, basically.
Yeah, we didn't know until the final, because then, you know, when the finalists were named, that was public because obviously the voting had to start. So we knew then, but yeah, I don't know up until that point. And even then, I think we were the only food business finalist. Joan, is that, do you recall?
I think there may have been one other food business, but we were in the final three with two different fitness businesses. And I will just leave the irony to you.
Well, there is irony in that. However, your bagels are very good. I'm not a big bread eater, but those bagels were good. I enjoyed my bagels from Bub, Bottoms Up Bagels. So with all the things that you just explained and you went through this contest, how important is it for you both to mentor other female entrepreneurs on their journey?
I need to say this before you begin to speak, Michelle, is that, and I need to say this to you directly, Ace, I'm looking at you, even though this is audio only, you research your guests, like the staff of Hot Ones, like that is how focused and good you are. You're probably going to be calling up somebody who went to like grammar school with me. I mean, that's like how deep you go into your role. That is how you roll. So thank you for that. I will now yield the floor.
No, it's a great question. And extremely, extremely important. And that's really the one of the main reasons we started Proofing Stage, which is only, you know, still getting going. We're only in the first few episodes, midway through the first season. But it was because, you know, we were both from other careers before starting Bottoms Up Bagels. And so we had a really steep learning curve. I mean, I had bartended and been a server and done a little bit of prep, back of the house prep stuff, but you know, that's a big leap becoming a food business entrepreneur. And so there were a lot of, you know, lessons learned and hard knocked and hard won victories and things that we just felt like, you know, our story is still unfolding. And I feel like a lot of times you hear after the person has slayed the dragon, you know, you hear like all of the ups and downs, but somebody is saying that from kind of the top of the mountain versus in the middle of the process. So we just felt like it was really important to not only share our story, but share our learnings, like share the things that we wish we did differently, share the obstacles that we didn't realize, like we didn't, you know, we were very naive in some ways. We started out with a ton of passion and a lot of drive and creativity and not being afraid of working, like we had always done that in other careers. So we're like, well, why not do that for ourselves? And we built a community and we built a brand in it, you know, but that doesn't mean that it couldn't have been a little bit easier if we knew some things in advance.
Right.
So, and especially women, for me, that was a big eye opener is like, I've done community development work mainly. And so I hadn't encountered a lot of the personalities in food or the, you know, such misogyny that exists in these places and in the processes of things. And so that too was just something different to contend with.
And you've kind of said this, it's important for you to create a community. You know, that's why you said it, Bubblas, you refer to your fans of Bottom-Up Bagels. So how do you think this philosophy of giving back and putting community first, how has it helped you in your business?
Joan, I want to definitely leave room for you. One thing I'll say very simply is that, you know, I think it's because this stems from a part of us that believes that life is more than transactions. And so at a very pure level, you know, a business is transactional, right? Like I have a thing, you want the thing, you give me money, I give you the thing, right? And especially with something as kind of low brow, right? Low basic as a bagel shop. We grew up in these environments where everybody was the same. You know, the person in the three-piece suit and the person in the construction hat are eating the same thing at the same counter. And So that really kind of has driven us to be the best part of somebody's day and not make them feel like a transaction. And you start, you do that person by person, but in the process, you are building a community.
I think that that might be a secret to your success so far and the accolades and accomplishments that you have, because even though your business, you started like in 2018, it's still a new business, kind of like a baby. I don't know how long it takes businesses to actually grow and be the big success or a moderate success that you want to be. But I think that you are following your heart, and that makes a big difference, and people can tell that about a business owner. What are some of the core values that are important to you that has led to your success? We did talk about community, but is there anything else?
For me, part of it goes back to my roots in social science research to some degree, in that you need to know what your business is and where you're going generally. But you need to be open to not just asking questions and receiving feedback, but really doing something with it. For a time, I worked for a research group that had two major problems. One is we would get some great data, and then sometimes we would not work towards impacting policy based on that. So why are you bothering asking the question if you're going to do nothing with it? And two, there was a sweet, sweet irony of one of the things that we studied was bullying, and there was bullying on site. And, you know, at a certain point, you can't take that hypocrisy. But to me, it was very important to be able to know what Bombs of Bagels was in terms of like being our brainchild and being working on, but being open to having to open to like new menu items, different hours, different offerings, because ultimately, if there was something that we could do, just check it against your values, right? Make sure it still makes sense. You're not going to be doing like a vanilla fudge bagel, you know, like if something, because one person wants it. But see if it fits in with the general vibe and energy you have going out there, and like just do something with it, because the customers are going to drive you. You know, in terms of what motivates me, a lot of it's just been how hard our customers work, how interesting they are as people, and to for a split second to realize that they reflect Michelle and me and our business ethos to me is just so beautiful and overwhelming.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I'm just letting the listeners know. I met Michelle and Joan last summer, as we spoke about, in the literal and figurative heat of the Writers Guild strike and the SAG-AFTRA strike. So there were so many businesses like Bottoms Up Bagels and others that supported the picketers. They were there on the picket lines here in New York and in Los Angeles. Business owners sent food. They sent food trucks, beverages, ice cream, donuts, energy drinks, all kinds of things to nourish and show their support and solidarity with picketers. I remember one day in New York, a truck came by, and I think they had popsicles or something. And they came by, and they showed their support. They were just laying on the horns, blowing the horns, and then they threw a bunch of popsicles out to into the crowd. But Joan and Michelle showed up with Bottoms Up Bagels, and they even altered their tagline. So I want you guys to make sure you look up Bottoms Up Bagels, but their tagline is, "Here's to every day." And just for the picket, they changed it, "Here's to solidarity." And we truly appreciated their solidarity and their bagels. So how important, I mean, it was really, people talked about that like every time we were in the line. But how important was it to you to be there and to show up and be an ally and support their unions during the strike?
When I was a kid, I had, to really encapsulate this for you, Avis, and for your listeners, I had a really, really rough childhood. I mean, to say that, like, my grandparents, you know, it depends. Like, I feel like whenever I talk about my family, I feel like it's totally a conversation ender. They were an interfaith couple that met during the Holocaust, and then they escaped Poland, right? So there's so many different things going on for them. And while I can say, like, oh, like, I learned about Jewish food and, like, a Jewish center and all these things, you know, there were still some realities that they brought back that helped them survive, but then also didn't make them the best people to be around sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I really took to PBS as a kid, different TV shows for escape. I also like really took to Encyclopedia Britannica, and I took to like my own writing. Like I spent way too much time, you know, like creating in those ways and trying to find the other world. So when I think about what you guys do for people, you don't even realize it goes beyond ratings, so like how you impact folks. Mm-hmm. Like there's a chef in Baltimore that we have worked with, and you know, he spent a lot of time in prison, but he would watch Galloping Gourmet. He'd watch all the different shows and he was in prison. And he just said, when I get out of here, I'm going to be a chef. And you know, he became a chef.
Wow.
And yeah, exactly. So the inspiration that you guys gave to me, it was a no brainer. Cause we have to test a kitchen anyway, you know, in the area. And I just thought, I'm not going to make it for like random people who may not appreciate it. It was just like a very simple way for us to give back to you guys.
And it was appreciated so much. And I do say, please, we have to support women businesses, women-owned businesses, small businesses. It's very important that we support everybody that came out on the strike lines and brought food and beverage to us, because it was hot some of those days.
Joan, your personal connection to television and especially scripted shows and things like that really was a no-brainer. And I think all of our interactions, the Buck Roadshow here in Baltimore with you all, it's like we want people to feel seen. We want to engage with people. You know, even I remember when we dropped the bagels off, and like I think people at first they were just waiting for us to not like kicking us out, but kind of surprised that we wanted to hang out, you know?
Yes.
Kind of surprised that we wanted to actually like talk to people and be like, oh, here's what we have today. We have four types of bagels and schmears. And because it's not a world that we're in every day, but we love, that's the best part of making food, is it's such a basic thing that everybody needs, but it's a way to engage with people at different levels. And so that goes back to the whole transactional piece. It's like, no, we want you to stay a while, and we're grateful when we have time in a situation such as that with you all in New York, where we didn't have orders coming in. We could like hang out and talk to people and actually support in other ways as well.
Like I said, we do appreciate it. Now let's move to the Proofing Stage podcast. The only thing I know about proofing is it's a stage of bread making, and that's about all I know. I don't make bread, at least not yet, but I'm sure that the process had something to do with the title. So tell us a little about the podcast.
Hey, sure. Michelle.
Oh, me? Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to, but I mean, there you are.
Here I am. Yeah. So basically, this is a podcast for entrepreneurs, mainly women, minorities, non-binary folks, but I think it's something that everybody could get something out of. It's, you know, we talk about it as the space between, which is where the proofing metaphor comes in. And I can share a little bit about that in a second, but we talk about the podcast itself as a pod for entrepreneurs, talking about the space between Atta Girl and I Told You So. And it is basically, you know, our journey in a way to capture what we've done so far, both for ourselves and other people, but then, you know, some lessons learned, some obstacles, some wins, some moments of celebration, some moments of distress, you know, just to kind of a little bit behind the scenes. I feel like if you were a customer of ours and you followed our journey over the years, this would be kind of like the behind the scenes that was running in the background the whole time.
The nuts and bolts, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. And I will also say in the metacognition, which is for what it's worth. But and you're absolutely right about the proofing stage. It's in our process the stage where you're waiting for the dough that you've just mixed from like flour, water, sugar, yeast, etc., to be ready to begin to become something else. So it's this period of, you know, I always steal from Michelle Obama's book when I use this term, but of it requires equal parts diligence and patience. And she was referring to that in terms of her evolution. But I think it's really apt for this process too, of just, you know, you're waiting, you're watching the clock. You don't want to be too soon. You don't want to be too late. It really kind of like the three bears, right? It needs to be just right. So when it comes to what we're trying to do with the podcast, which is capture our process and build a community of other entrepreneurs and business owners and those in food business and those who are maybe thinking about just starting out, creating a space, that space in between, you're getting going and you've succeeded or not succeeded. And what happens in the middle there?
That's another podcast for entrepreneurs. You guys should tune in to find out what's going on. And so you won't make the same mistakes. And speaking of mistakes, what do you think are some of the biggest or the biggest failure that you ran into, and what did you learn from it?
You know, Avis, in advance of us speaking, of course, Michelle and I dug into some of your earlier pod episodes. There are certain recurring things that come up, and I just really appreciate the fact that you make sure to touch on them. I think the mistakes one is important. You really made me think, because I didn't want to go totally personal. I was like, okay, what business-wise, what have I specifically done? And there was a time period when we had the active BubHub beta, the shop in Baltimore, where we had some staff who were, you know, it was really tough because it was COVID, and I know we were all struggling, but their comportment was such internally, specifically to me and Michelle, and it was so negative, and it was so disruptive, and it did not give grace. And I really should have either gotten the HR help to see if we could work with them in any way, or just simply fired them. But I was just so hesitant because I was so sensitive to where people would be. But that would just, I think, clear the way for us.
So because you didn't tackle it head on, is that what you're saying? So that made, I guess it just made a hole, something that you look back on and said, I wish I'd done that differently.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, I felt like by letting those people carry on, it's almost not, I don't want to use the analogy of having a bad apple spoiling the bunch. It was just a few people, just a bolus of folks. But when you're a team of 10 or 12, that's all you need.
Yeah, all you need is one. That's not a lot of people. It's not like they're going to get lost in a crowd of 30 or 50.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would have done.
I think one thing too, that I don't know if I would call it a failure, but it's definitely something I wish I had known sooner or done differently, which is that early on we got advice. You know, we sought it out. We were tried to different programs or different webinars or different mentors. And in retrospect, most of them were men, which I don't say is a criticism, but I think I didn't realize how helpful it would have been to speak with people who had really been there and done it, whose path may have been similar to mine or to ours. Mm-hmm. And one of those things was also just getting caught up in the whole hustle culture of starting a business, which I know there are tons and tons of things out there about, toxic hustle culture or thriving hustle culture. But I remember specifically getting the advice when I had some questions about what kind of entity we should be, LLC, S Corp, all that kind of thing. And I remember somebody saying, and I really took this to heart, don't worry about any of that stuff. Just make as much money as you can, and then you can pay people to figure that out for you, which seemed to make sense. But what it did was kind of perpetuate for me this, just keep grinding, grind, make enough. So even in terms of hiring management and things, we waited way too long to do that. We should have done that earlier, but we kept taking more and more and more on our own plate in an effort to really try to save our resources, to have this magic moment one day when we would be able to afford this kind of help or that kind of help. And anybody knows, that's not how it works. It's mm-hmm. an organic rolling process. So I guess I just wish I appreciated that it was a long game earlier in the process, rather than being so scarcity minded from the beginning all the way through. Because that, that leads to burnout, that leads to not maybe making the best management decisions when you need to about staffing, that leads to maybe not seeking other voices because you think, oh, I should just be able to know this, I should just be able to do more,
Well, that's a value that you have that you can bring to other entrepreneurs in general, whether they're men or women, but especially for women that are being told just various things. But I guess it's different coming from a women-run business. So that's the kind of value that you would bring to the table as a mentor or role model for another business owner. I was going to ask you both to give me some words of wisdom, but you just dropped it before I asked, but I am going to ask you because that was a...
Sorry.
That's because you're always thinking, You bring so much to your food and to your business. But I will, because you might have some other pearls of wisdom to leave. And I'll start with you, Joan.
Oh, sure. A couple of things come to mind right off the bat. One is a bit of a chestnut, but I think people need to crack it open more often, which is when people show you who they are, believe them. And I feel like that would have impacted us differently if we were able to respond to more of the red flags that we got from our landlords in Baltimore City. I think all that generally, though, does point to how important property ownership is for any women-owned business. It gives you a lot, gives you a stable line item, of course, in your budget, but also gives you wealth. And then the other thing I would say is that realize that when other people try to rush your decision-making, and they have all this urgency about something, it typically is meant to mess with your decision-making skills. So don't ever feel like you need, because again, like we make bagels, other people may make cupcakes, they could have a CPG product, they can like have some fashion, but generally, unless you're operating on somebody's brain, you can wait a day. And that's what people do when they scam you too, generally, like bank scams and whatnot. So just take the time, just sit in your power for a second, literally sleep on it, and then realize that it's, you're worth waiting for in terms of your decision.
That's a nice pearl. Michelle, drop one on me.
I mean, the first thing I would say is just know who you are, which is cliche at this point, and but it's applicable to obviously so many different things, but particularly as a business. I just feel like, you know, even when things haven't gone our way, we've made those decisions with a lot of thought, with an understanding of the potential outcomes as much as anybody can know. And then you can kind of stand by it. You can say, all right, well, I'm doing this because this is my commitment to ourselves. This is my commitment to our team. This is my commitment to our customers. And then beyond that, I'm not in control. So really knowing who you are as a business, building a true brand versus just being concerned about a good looking logo or something, you know what
right.
I mean? Like the substance behind that stuff. And finding your people, you know, this is something that I think goes hand in hand with knowing who you are, because you will attract the people that you're going to be a fit for. You know, like for our, not everybody likes our style of bagel. It's very chewy. It's very dense. It's very based in, you know, what we grew up with, but some people don't like that. Mm-hmm. Some people want a lighter, fluffier. Some people want you to automatically toast it, you know, but, and also then in terms of support, in terms of other female founders, in terms of other business owners and community members that can help you through that journey too. I think being an entrepreneur, being anybody, a creative, a maker, anybody who puts themselves out there in any kind of way, like it can get really lonely. And having your people or your person or your, you know, bench to just help you remember who you are, I think is really important, because it's so easy to get lost when you are just trying to do right by so many different users and so many different people in your life and in different capacities in your business, that, you know, it's hard to remember the core of not only like who you are, but what you're capable of. And so seeking that support is really important too.
Yeah, trying to find your way, it can be difficult. Well, I want to thank you, Joan and Michelle, for being here today. You can find out more about Joan and Michelle and Bottoms Up Bagels at bottomsupbagels.com. Check out their social media and give them some love and enjoy their bagels. And listen to the Proofing Stage podcast wherever you get your podcast. And make sure you like, subscribe, and share this podcast, That's How We Roll. I'd love it if you leave a review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And make sure you follow me and please listen. And if you had an aha moment while listening to the podcast, send me a DM on Instagram, or you could send Michelle and Joan a DM as well, because we want to know what sparked your interest. So again, I just want to thank my guests, Michelle Bond and Joan Canner from Bottoms Up Bagels. It's been a complete pleasure and treasure having you join me. I appreciate it so much.
This is such a great time. Thank you so much. I'm so glad we kept in touch.
Yeah, thank you. Me too.
Yeah, my God. Thank you so much. This was a delight.
Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll see you all soon. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, checking out the podcast. Thank you for inviting me into your space. And until next time, I hope you will continue to thrive, grow, and be kind to yourselves and be kind to others.